This show is brought to you by Ponex, offering the lowest rates in the shipping business. Ponex, when it absolutely, positively has to be there sometime next week.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Cylons!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Is that intro getting shorter, or is it just me?
It's the express version, dude.
Did we miss something in there? I look up and felt like that was 10 seconds.
Yeah, probably was.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for October 23rd, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, then very welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, very welcome back. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with the smile on his face. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm Lantastic. What's up, man?
Lantastic?
Lantastic.
Are you, like, networking with your friends at this point?
No, just with myself.
You don't have any friends. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got listener questions,
Yay.
Listener complaints. Are cloaking devices a reality? And
Yay.
We want to know your favorite Star Trek movies.
Maybe.
But first, the business of the day. On this day in tech history for October 23rd, 2006. This is October 23rd, it's the 296th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 69 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 4004 BC, on the preceding eve of this day, in the proleptic Julian calendar, the universe was created according to the Archbishop James Usher in his Usher Lightfoot calendar. Also on this date in 1906, Alberto Santos Dumont files the 14 BIS in the first public and officially recognized heavier-than-air flight at Champs de Bagatelle, Paris, France. The first use of aircraft in war was on this date in 1911 when an Italian pilot takes off from Libya to survey Turkish lines during the Turco-Italian War. And it was on this date in 1929 that the first transcontinental air service begins from New York City to Los Angeles. Swatch Internet Time is introduced on this date in 1998. And Apple releases Mac OS 9 on this date in 1999. Also from Apple, they released the first iPod on this date in 2001. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1762 to Samuel Morse, the American inventor. And German explorer Ludwig Leichhardt was born on this date in 1813. American chemist Gilbert N. Lewis was born on this date in 1875. And according to Wikipedia, he's not dead yet. That would make him a spry 131 years old. French engineer André Lévesque was born on this date in 1896. And finally, director of the Spider-Man films, Sam Raimi turns 47 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 23rd, 2006.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and Myth Confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I love the R2 you put in on that thing.
Well, I thought it was only appropriate, you know?
That's right, since he's only one of three people allowed to drive R2-D2.
Yep.
The official R2-D.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we should get him to hook us up with George Lucas for an interview.
You know what's funny? George Lucas interview. We mentioned
what
that...
What are you thinking, George, with Phantom Menace? Come on, man. I'm kidding.
Yeah, Star Trek V. Every time I watch an Energizer commercial, though, I think of Grant now, because he worked on the Bunny.
I know.
Speaking of iPod, we mentioned on this day in tech history, the iPod is now 5 years old.
Yep.
Michelle, a.k.a. Country Sign, sent us this.
Ah. Hey, everyone. This is Michelle in New York, and I want to wish a happy birthday to a very special part of my life. The iPod. The iPod turns 5 on Monday, October 23rd, and my life has never been the same since. Has yours? And now, back to Chuck and Craig.
You got mail, maggot!
Which maggot are you referring to?
The Chuck Magnet maggot. Caught me off guard.
You got mail, maggot.
Actually, before we get in the mail, I wanted to mention.
I'm getting silly.
Breathe.
Yeah. Beer. Okay.
Before we get into that, I wanted to mention that listener Adam Larson gets our Fan of the Month award.
Oh, yeah? What do you do?
He won $50 on the Mike Tech Show podcast, and he said, I'd like to split this five ways between the podcasts he loves. So $10 goes to Douglas E. Welch, $10 goes to Paul from Paul.com, $10 goes to Kevin Devin in the Trenches, $10 goes back to Mike Smith, and $10 goes to us.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, where's my five? Now, where's my five?
Bandwidth, buddy.
Oh, yeah, okay. Don't remind me.
That is our Fan of the Month music now.
Yes, thank Adam. Thank you. No, thanks, Adam. Not thank Adam.
Adam rocks.
We thanked him enough. That's cool. Thanks, man.
Also, I got to tell you, I was I had some weird synaptic thing going on when I was driving to work. I think it was Wednesday. This is how effective the Getting Things Done program can be, because when you clear your mind of all the clutter, all the things you have to remember, when you write it all down and you get it into your system, you have more bandwidth to be creative. Well, my brain doesn't quite know how to be creative yet. It starts going in weird synaptic firing patterns. Get this, I'm driving to work, about to get on the highway, and there's no rationale for either of these two thoughts.
Okay.
But I started thinking, I wonder if Sark on the movie Tron from the early 80s was played by David Warner. The voice just kind of popped into my head, and I'm like, that really sounds like David Warner. There was no David Warner audio anywhere in the van or anything else, but my brain just went, I wonder if it is. Sure enough, I go to, get this, IMDb.
It is, isn't it?
I went to IMDb. Absolutely nothing on Tron from 1982.
No.
Very poor. Go look. It's not there. There's no cast list. There's no poster. There's no...
I'm looking at the cast list right here.
On IMDb?
Yeah.
Tron from 1982?
Yeah.
I looked 2 days ago. There wasn't anything.
I'm looking at Jeff Bridges, Bruce Boxleitner, da-da-da-da-da.
David Warner, right?
Let's see.
Yes, it was. I already looked. Actually, Wikipedia told me a better answer. Okay, then within a quarter mile, I get this other random thought that tied together.
I'm sorry. I read the wrong line. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I have this other random thought. I went, You know who else could be, you know, one of these people that is on another show? Commander Kor from Star Trek original series Errand of Mercy. You know, with the Organian Treaty and the whole thing. Like, could that also be Baltar on the old Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Again, I couldn't find a decent answer on IMDb, so Wikipedia turned it up, and actually, it is.
Yeah, and you know what? I knew that because they made a big deal about it. I want to say it was on Deep Space Nine. Well, they brought him out and another old Klingon.
Yeah.
And he was on there.
John Colicos is the actor's name. And, yeah, he plays Baltar on the original Battlestar Galactica. He played Kor on Star Trek, the original series. And then you're right, on Deep Space Nine, he played the 140-year-old Kor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
With the head.
With the turtle head. Right.
The forehead.
But they do not talk about such things to outworlders.
You know, somebody was trying to tell me one time an explanation that the special explanation was some kind of mutation in the Klingon. I don't know.
They already covered that. They don't talk about
it. What was it? What?
They don't talk about that.
No, Worf, I mean, the official.
When Deep Space
Nine. I know. Okay. I know we don't talk about it, but I want to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't see Worf. He ain't here.
All right. We have to get back to our email. We never got to it.
You got mail, maggot.
Hey, by the way, if anybody knows the official explanation about the Klingon heads, let us know.
The official explanation? The canonical?
Yeah, part of the official canon.
All right, Dean Jensen writes in, he's writing back about old computers. He said, I need to make a correction. I just went and looked at the model number because you were curious. Remember I said I wanted to know if it was an AT-239 or a 339? He said, it wasn't an AT, it's an XT. So it's a little older than I thought. It's a model 5271. I should see if it still works. It might even have DOS 5.0 5 1/4 inch boot disk around somewhere. Hmm. And our DOS command of the week, ripped from config.sys, is device equals C:\Windows\EMM386.exe, no EMS.
Yep. You remember when you had to tell the machine to use extended or was it expanded memory? It was two different ways that the memory is addressed.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what this was. Yeah, because you had to tell it you had to use it in one fashion and not the other. Yeah, and I remember thinking back on that and going, what the crap were they thinking? You know?
That's because 640 was enough for anyone, right?
Yeah. Well, according to Bill Gates.
I'm not gonna get into the difference between extended and expanded, but yes, I still do remember.
Mm-hmm.
Same topic. Evner writes in about old computers. Hi, Chuck. Another strange way in which Technorama affects its listeners. Another strange way. I love that. I was listening to the last show, regretting that I don't have any old computers to boast about. My first computer was an XT, which is now long gone. I did get to use older Commodores and even Digital Rainbow, great machine, as a kid, but never owned them. I was about 10 at the time.
Hmm.
I woke up today with an alarming feeling after realizing that I have been dreaming of finding an old stash of ancient equipment at home to write Technorama about. This is really concerning. He wrote that, not me.
And you know what? He could have lied. Just send us an email about this Digital Rainbow, how great it was.
Anyway, I did think about a friend of mine who has an old computers museum in his PC store. The page is mostly in Hebrew, but is fairly simple to understand. Below the picture are three columns. The rightmost column lists the manufacturer. The middle lists the computers he has in his museum. And the leftmost column lists the ones he doesn't have and probably wishes he did. The store is in Israel, so I don't think there's much concern about advertising. Here's the link, and the link will be in the show notes, of course. Thanks for the great show.
Yeah, pretty cool. Did you go see it?
Yeah, I did.
Man, that shelf was impressive. I see a... I can't remember what that was in the middle, right in the dead center, but that thing off to the right, it was almost like a speaker attached to a screen, but I remember I'm trying to remember what computer that was, but it was like a hybrid between a laptop where they offloaded all the computer equipment in that little canister.
Uh-huh. Let me pull up the page real quick. Which one are you looking at?
It's in, fourth row down on the right.
In the middle or on the right?
No, on the right, fourth down.
Oh, it kind of does look like a laptop.
Yeah, it's an LCD screen. It's scanny. I've seen one of these before, and that's not a speaker. That's the actual computer beside it. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I see a Commodore and a VIC-20 up there, and what's that to the immediate left of that?
That, if I'm not mistaken, that's an Apple Lisa.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. There wasn't, there's not a whole lot of those are floating around.
Okay, we got more stuff to go.
Anyway, we got to go? We got to move along?
P.S. Is Craig the one doing the Fit intro at the beginning of every Fit show, where it goes 3, 2, 1?
Yep,
that's
I
Craig's
am on
voice.
Every show.
Some of the some of that content, he's not the one going 3, 2, 1. That was picked up from a clip that we got.
That's me, Chuck.
The front end and the back end is not him, but the part that says, this show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. That's Craig.
Yep.
Do it. Do the thing.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
I think you do better at the other one.
Well, I've been drinking. But you know what? What's cool? It's up here on every Fit show.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Awesome.
We also have a question from listener BJK about syncing his iPod.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I now have 83 podcasts that I have listened to and will show up in a smart playlist of play count of 1, but won't show up in the iPod's podcast listening, so I can't remove them. How do I get the smart playlist to take content off the iPod? I manually update because I do save episodes of the shorter shows until I have 30 minutes worth and listen in a block.
Mm-hmm.
That is doable. I looked in iTunes 7, so this is an iTunes 7 based response. It says, hook up your iPod and click on the podcast tab. So you select your iPod over on the left, and you get the tabs across the top. So click on the podcast tab. There's a checkbox at the top that says sync, and a pick list next to it with several choices. You want the one that says all unplayed. That's what I use. Then,
there's no need for having it. One, the smart playlist to do that. Two, and it would just remove them next time you sync.
No, the smart playlist does have a point, because if you go to the podcast menu or go to music podcast, it will only play one show at a time. If you go to the playlist, you can put them in the order you want.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying to do what he wants to do, you wouldn't need this playlist for that.
I do have a footnote about this new iTunes 7. You know the album art thing where you go flipping through, it looks like you're going through your rack of albums?
Yeah.
What is it with GarageBand that assumes album art?
What do you mean? If you stick album art on there, I don't understand.
No, I created a radio yesterday today and a Gmail podcast today. When I exported those out of GarageBand, they came up with the freestyle album art by default. There was no album art on that file.
Oh, I see.
But yet when you look at it in that little flipper thing, it's freestyle. I'm like, what the heck?
You're using iLife 6?
iLife 06, yes.
And you're using GarageBand and telling it to record the podcast?
Either way, I export Gmail podcast as a podcast, but I export Radio Yesterday as a regular song. Both of them go to iTunes first as an AIFF. I know we're getting a little technical and off topic, but it's like this assumed album art. All I did in the info was changed from album chuckchat.com to Radio Yesterday, and it assumes the right album art. I'm like, whoa, it's not in the other tab that says album cover art. Very weird.
I don't know. I haven't really messed with recording a podcast out of GarageBand. I started to because now I've got iLife 6. So.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break before we get into the voicemail. We will be right back.
Okie dokie.
Psst. Hey, Mac, you talking to me?
Yeah, you, Mac.
What do you want?
I understand you're quite a computer.
A lot of people seem to think I am, yes.
I also understand a lot of people don't understand everything about you.
Well, that's their problem, not mine.
That's why there's the typical Mac user podcast and website.
Typical Mac user, eh?
Yeah, they learn all about you, Mac. They learn all the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Surely you're not suggesting there's a bad side to the Mac?
Yeah, you let them decide about that. Typical Mac user podcast and website. TypicalMacUser.com.
Catchy name.
Yeah, I'm gonna go find out all about you, Mac.
How you doing? You're listening to Chuck, Tomasi, and Craig Step on Technorama. Now get out of my way. I'm walking here.
Craig didn't know that was coming. Mail!
Forget about it.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hey, Tech and Craig, this is Bruce. I just wanted to give you guys a call and let you know how much I've been enjoying the shows. I know I haven't been calling in, but, you know, I haven't forgotten about you.
We miss you, Bruce.
So glad to see that all the links are welcome, and you're not going to block me here soon. So, oh, and by the way, Craig, some of these links I've only been sending to you, and I think we both know why, but I owe you something on that anyway. So, great interview this week with the techie guy behind the Mythbusters. That was just fascinating. An interesting little, you know, insight into that world. That would be a kick to just go and watch them doing the show sometime. But, and as far as the old hardware things are going, you know, I know I've got at least one color computer upstairs in the Mad Scientist Lab in a pile of you know, stuff that I need to go through. But I know that's up there somewhere. I think there's even a VIC-20 up there somewhere, even though I didn't use that actively, but I picked it up on the cheap and messed around with it. On a side note, everybody who ever used the VIC-20 online probably bought their little cartridge modem that would fit in the back of the VIC-20 from my ex-boss, who got me into this whole path of doing things electronic, or at least helped me along in that path, in recording studio days when I went to school, because when he left the university, he started the company that made those little cartridge-based modems that you would use to get your VIC-20, 300 baud modems to get you online. Anyway, I know I've got some of that stuff that's older, but I'll tell you what I definitely can do. I can put my hand directly on both all 100 computers that I own, the first laptop I ever owned. And, you know, I'll never get rid of, I'll always own at least one, because worst comes to worst, 4 AA batteries and you know, rebuild civilization. Bye, guys.
A Tandy 100.
Dear sir, I must complain about the complaint in last week's episode, of which I have prepared a small clip for your reference.
Dear sir, I felt I had to write to you concerning your segment titled This Day in History for September the 25th.
If this was indeed This Week in History, a well-known bumper produced for NPR, then Technorama must be an NPR-produced show, and I must be British, and therefore this must be my real accent. But since we know Technorama to not be produced by anybody with any money to speak of whatsoever, I must not be British and therefore am faking this accent. While I can go on and on about nothing in particular as well as any other drunk Brit, I have to end this letter soon because I am afraid of blowing out my voice. Yours truly, the Angry Geek.
That was from the listener Angry Geek? Jason, yes.
That's pretty good.
That was a terrible British accent, worse than ours, but it was still very funny. I told.
And true at the same time, because we, in fact, had no money.
Yeah, that's right.
We were just praising about Adam sending us $10.
That was it. Thanks, man. That's why we were praising it.
Thanks again, man.
So I told Phil Clark when he sent me that original clip about, you know, complaining that Michael Palin in 1888 thing, I said, you know what that's going to do? You're just bringing on reciprocation, because all of those Monty Python complaint letters had follow-ups to them.
Yep.
I want to complain about complaints.
That's pretty funny.
And I want to give a shout-out to the chat room at this point. We've got a hopping time in there. Michelle, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Country Science, Captain Rootbeer, Hestekalif, Kevin Devon, Mark Shepard, Missing an Elect, Ping and Pong.
Now they're two separate people.
That is two separate people. Shadowbird, Soul Blaze, Tim Elliott, The Ball, and Typical Victor.
Where's Adam?
Adam.
Zadam.
Oh, Zaha Doom. He was there earlier. I don't know where he went. And while we're at it,
he's probably Pong.
Let's, could be. Get this. All four of these people, this is the listener birthday calendar. All four of these are on October 25th.
Oh, yeah.
We've got our blog contributor, Mad Mar from Hawaii. Yay!
Hey, and he, and by the way, he was okay out of the, after the earthquake.
Survived the earthquake, okay. He had to do without power for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. No, all day.
Well, yeah, there's a few hours in a day. We've got the Brit on tour, a.k.a. Jason. Human Shield, Scott from Minneapolis is also, happy birthday to all these people on October 25th.
You say it's your birthday! Oh, wait, we're going to get sued.
Yeah, probably. If you want to get your name on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our wiki and look for the fun and games section or click on the listener birthday calendar link in the show notes.
And if your birthday changes for some reason, be sure to go back in the wiki and edit it.
And your driver's license.
Any credit card numbers you'd like.
And now the news! Apparently, scientists in the US and UK have created the invisibility cloak.
Awesome. I want to see it.
Captain Kirk would be proud, wouldn't he?
I want to see it, Chuck.
Get it? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, here's a video.
Hey, you know what? Well, I said that in our mailing list. I want to see a video of it. But
video of an invisibility cloak.
Of something disappearing, not of the cloak. Just, hey, I can see through it. Cool. I want to see, like, you know, I want to see him turn on.
It's not perfect to... did you read the article?
Huh?
It's not perfect to cloak visible light, but it works well for things like microwaves.
I think that was the whole thing, is it takes microwaves and bends light to go around it. I think that's what they were trying to do.
And if you can do that with microwaves, you can do that with radar, which has military applications, because it's different than stealth technology, which reduces the radar profile of something. This would actually make the radar waves kind of go around it and never reflect from anything.
So I guess it's better for radar more than anything?
Yeah. But, I mean, if they can get it to work with visibility things, that'd be neat, too.
I can see now. Bob, okay, Bob, go out there with the cloak and let's see if it works. Turns it on and comes back. Man, I had a candy bar in my pocket. It all melted.
Bob?
We turned it on. Bob? Well, actually, that's how microwave oven started.
That's how the microwave was. Yeah. The guy discovered that the candy bar next to his transmission tower. Well, he was standing next to a transmission tower, the candy bar in his shirt
pocket
melted.
He was more concerned about his candy bar than his leg was cooked.
Or future generations.
Yeah. That's funny.
Elsewhere in the news, Friday night I made an appearance on a local newspaper's podcast, The Post Pressing Out of
Let's
Appleton.
Let's talk about Chuck and his media tour.
As Bender would say, blah, blah, yeah, enough about that. Let's talk about Chuck.
Yeah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, nobody's Bender. Listening.
Yeah.
I got Bender news.
Yeah. Now tell me about it, Chuck.
A couple weeks ago, Steve Kabalowski from the Post Crescent called me up. He's been here a couple of times and was part of Technorama about a year ago. He also got me a spot in the Insider, sort of like the little Sunday edition thing that everybody throws away. Yeah, I was in that. And he said, we've started a podcast, because being a traditional newspaper, he realized the value in branching out into podcasts. They're going to do a video podcast. They did some blogging at one point. The newspaper obviously has a website. So he said, we've been doing this for about a couple of months now. Would you like to be on? So I'm a local celebrity. As he put it, I put Appleton on the podcasting map. I went, wow,
if he only listened to the show. I'm kidding.
I said, I got to put on my raccoon skin hat. I'm a regular Daniel Boone.
Don't you know? Hey, well, did they give you credit for...
Yeah, we talked about Technorama and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Wait a minute.
There's a link in the show notes.
Did you talk about your involvement with Technorama, or did I show up in there?
You got high praise.
I'm going to listen to it.
I got a co-host. Were you fishing for compliments there, Craig?
Do what?
Were you fishing for compliments?
No, I mean, okay, let's look back. All right. Podcast 401. Remember the first time you were interviewed?
Yeah.
We had just started Technorama. Nary did I hear my name.
You got high praise.
I'm just picking. It's always, you know, oh yeah, my sidekick, Craig.
Also, finally in the news, we've got over at Friends in Tech, we are working hard on the Halloween special. Some working harder than others, namely me. So they're wrapping up, or not wrapping up, they're heavy in post-production. Should be wrapping up in the next few days to get the special out by Halloween. Lots of sound leveling and editing together. And how many different people do we have contributing to this thing?
Oh, gosh.
14, 15?
Yeah, that's the without counting, that's like the number of pops in my head, probably around 15.
I have two characters to do, neither one of them is my regular voice.
Well, actually, no, you're right. No, but it's a lot of fun, and I did a little bit of editing already, so and one part's already done. So I imagine by Wednesday it should look pretty good, and we'll be able to nitpick for a few days and be ready to go.
All right, and before we get into the Hacks and Strange Stories, another quick break.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. These guys have nothing on James T. Kirk, and I should know.
I like that as a new new network of podcasters. FIT, the Friends in Tech. Sounds like they got something cool going on there.
This is Mike Smith, host of the Mike Tech Show podcast at miketechshow.com. And you're listening to the Technorama podcast. Now, back to Chuck and Craig.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
La 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 la.
What was that?
Wait a minute, where's the Hacks and Strange Stories? I'm looking at it.
The Hacks and Strange Stories I've got are... Where's Mark? Where's Mark? Mark? Mark Shepard sent me an email.
Those are different from what I've got.
What do you got? Are your show notes different? Mark Shepard, in his collection of photographs, has sent in yet another one. This one is all about signs. Caution, this machine has no brain. Use your own.
That was pretty good.
A van going down the street with the company logo on the side. It says, Stiff Nipples Air Conditioning Service.
Wait a minute, let me do the next one. Please, don't throw your cigarette ends on the floor. The cockroaches are getting cancer.
Our aim is to keep this bathroom clean. Gentlemen, your aim will help. Stand closer. It's shorter than you think. Ladies, please remain seated for the entire performance.
Hey, I gotta read this last one, okay? Let's go through the last one real quick. The church. Staying in bed and shouting, oh God, does not constitute going to church.
I wonder if they did that with that sign maker thing that we use for Technorama.
I don't know about that. I don't know. That's pretty good, though.
I think my favorite is the zoo one, though. Please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on zoo fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you.
Bad human.
Also, cheesy humor from listener Jeremy K. A few ways to tell if your computer is infected. Number one, it burns when you control P. There's a pop-up, and it's not in your pants.
Oh, God.
After you close the site, a forum appears asking if you remembered the name of the site you just visited. The next one, if you fail to accurately recall the name, it will keep popping up angry messages for a period of time before eventually begging you to come back.
Here you go. I'll get the next one. Your browser asks you why you didn't use protection on it.
There's no cure.
Hey, I got it. You just sit back. There's no cure, but you can treat the symptoms.
There's mysterious blemishes, i.e. icons, appear on your screen. And my favorite one, your computer crashes immediately after, and it can't believe what site it was with in the morning.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh. Now, I also have to admit that we've had a mysterious caller. If you listened all the way to the last end of the last Technorama, you probably remember there was a little voice that went, the geek, I like the geek, the geek is good.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was the beep. I thought he was saying the geek. Well,
beep.
That same mystery caller has left us another message. I don't know who this is. Another message this week on the listener line. You get the idea. We're trying to figure out who this is.
Okay.
Chuck.com! 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 Yay!
No, it's not me. That's not me.
Look, quit putting your girls up to this, okay?
It's not the kids. Not the kids.
I don't know.
If you think you know who it is, send us an email. Chuck@chuckchat.com.
If you can identify this mystery caller.
Yeah, with the line across the eyes, you know, to remain anonymous.
You know, I think that sounded like Kevin Devin myself.
I don't think so.
Maybe George.
I don't think it was.
Okay.
What do we have next?
Let's go take a look at the media corner.
The media corner. Can we take a break first?
Oh, yeah, sure, if you want to.
All right, one last quick break, then we're in the media corner. We'll rip through the geek library and meet you on the other side.
We'll meet you on the flip side, yeah.
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama, and I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm going to build you a cake.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script.
Ain't he funny?
Belly button biometrics, when only the highest level of security will do. Did you know that belly buttons, also sometimes called navels, are more unique than fingerprints? Protect your high security data with BBB, the 10,000 DPI scanner, now without the annoying sunburn. Belly button biometrics fits in great with today's bare midriff styles too. Make your passcode match your dress code with belly button biometrics.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Before we get started in the media corner, are those belly button biometrics compatible with piercings?
I don't know, you have to see.
That doesn't use, like, microwaves or anything, does it?
I don't know, I haven't really tried any. I know we're getting some in at work.
Are you?
Yeah.
Hope they work better than that transporter different thing we tried.
Yeah, right.
Hit the media corner, man.
All right, coming up is Fraggle Rock is coming to theaters in a movie, a new movie.
Gage away. Where are we supposed to another day? Sorry. Go ahead.
So you liked Fraggle Rock?
I hate Fraggle Rock. The song just sticks in my head.
Oh, you hate Fraggle Rock? Really?
I thought it was all right. It was just a little annoying. It wasn't one of my favorite Henson creations.
I remember a little bit of it. I just remember the Fraggles were, they tried to stay away from the human world, and all that old man wouldn't ever really notice them, but the dog would, you know, always trying to tell him that, hey, look, you know. But I thought it was kind of cute. Anyway, they're coming out with a movie on it. The Henson, with the Jim Henson Company, they're confirming that they're going to go ahead on this. They're working on the script as we speak and are doing character models. I think they're using a lot of the same puppets, but they're going to update them a little bit, and whatever that means. I don't know. But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it. Anything Jim Henson did, I really liked. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
And a Doctor Who spinoff, Torchwood, is now being reviewed.
Have you seen it yet?
Torchwood?
Yeah.
Or Doctor Who?
No, Torchwood, dude.
Torchwood's not out. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Oh, it's about to. That's right. Well, it's probably on a torrent somewhere near you.
Torchwood is actually an anagram for Doctor Who, if you mix up the letters. It's a spinoff. Yeah. And they've made hints to it in the latest Doctor Who shows. You know, the Torchwood Institute, when they met Queen Victoria, she said, yep, Torchwood will be ready. And in a later show, they said, Torchwood is now ready. So it's going to be really interesting. The basic premise of the show is that there's a secret organization, Torchwood, who work outside the government protecting against alien threats and scavenging any technology left behind. Sounds kind of like MIB, you know, the Men in Black.
Yeah, a little bit.
They are led by Captain Jack from the earlier
season.
I liked
Captain Jack.
Who we last saw being resurrected by super-powered Rose at the end of the first season and abandoned in the 50th century. So there are references to Doctor Who, but it's not, you know, a direct tie-in. It's, you know, sort of like Deep Space Nine was to Star Trek Next Generation. You might see some characters, you might hear some references, but it's a
crossover.
It's on its own sort of storyline plane thing.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I am looking forward to at least test driving it.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Oh, by the way, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll talk about it in a minute.
No, I was going to move on to the next story. Did you have something left on that one?
No.
Okay.
I'm done. Moving along.
Okay. Apparently the webisodes, the Battlestar Galactica little short things, are getting some serious problems. This is from MSNBC. They said that the webisodes, I'll just read a little bit here. Listen up, Battlestar Galactica fans. A war is brewing fiercer than anything involving Cylon robots. The battlefield? The internet, where fans can get their Battlestar fix with 3-minute mini-episodes created especially for the Sci-Fi Channel's website, sci-fi.com. NBC Universal, the studio behind Battlestar, refused to pay residuals or credit the writers of these webisodes, claiming they're promotional materials. So, Battlestar executive producer Ronald D. Moore said he wouldn't deliver any more of them, including the 10 that were already in the can. Oh, man, you give credit to the writers or, you know...
Why would you not?
Oh, exactly. NBC is saying they're promotional. But
so?
They're...
Why would you not? Hey, a music video. Okay, is that promotional? I guess you can buy those.
Well, in one sense, yes, it is promotional.
So, they always show the credit. They have to show the credits. Even on some commercials, you'll see the credited artist slash band or whatever in the corner of the screen. So why not even, I mean, come on. It's a big deal. Actually, you know, I read they were fighting over residual. I was like, well, I didn't think there was really any money that was made off of those.
No?
I mean, really, there wasn't any ads or anything. But still, why would they not give them credit for crying out loud? Jeez.
Idiots.
Well, anyway, but I'll stand behind more.
I do, too. Because he gave us that cool ID.
Yeah, it was cool.
There's the transitional sound into the Geek Library.
No, we're back up into the media corner because we're not done.
Do I have to play that again? Here, we'll back up.
No, wait. Stay.
That's the same sound in reverse.
Just pretend it's reverse. Listen, I wanted to talk about Friday night's episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, no spoilers, though.
No, I'm going to try not to give any spoilers.
And we're gonna keep it... Somewhat just short.
Came out. Yeah, that'd be kind of short. But anyway,
great show. That was probably my favorite so far.
You know what? I will say this. They tidied that whole storyline up really nicely. What I really wanted to talk about, and there was a lot of things in the story that we could do a whole show.
We probably
about that,
could, but there's already podcasts about that.
Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about was in this the whole series to date, there's been little special effects. You've seen the Vipers flying around and a little bit of stuff like that, some explosions. But was it me or was there just not an extravaganza of special effects this one time around? Would you not say so? There was a ton of special effects I thought were great. Right? Did you not?
Like, I thought they were good. That wasn't the highlight of the show for me.
No.
I mean, I thought it was still in the writing.
No. Let me back up. Yes, you're right. It was still a very story-driven show. I'm just saying... For not seeing any special effects, it was a nice little, whoa. You know, I was not expecting to see some of this stuff, some of the things that they did. And that's what blew me away.
That's true. Yeah.
Was when they finally turned it on to see what, like, the ships. Okay, you've seen them do, like, high-energy turns. The little Vipers doing a flip.
Right.
And you see some of that, and they're all a little more mobile. But this I've got to talk about, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, but the Galactica... They'd use the FTL and they jump in the atmosphere and the ship's falling right above the campsite where everybody's been living. And you see it falling. And at first I was like, oh, this is cool. You see flames coming up from behind under the ship as the Vipers are shooting out.
Mm-hmm.
They're launching Vipers right at almost ground zero where they need to be. And then they show from where Chief and all those other guys are down there on the ground. You see that they look up and they see the Battlestar. It looks like it's getting ready hit the ground and just made this huge explosion. But right at the last minute, they use the FTL and jump back out, and you see the wind come down. I'm like, holy crap, just when you think you've seen every little cool trick, you know, in a sci-fi writer's, you know, bag. I've never seen anything like that. That was just too
that
cool.
That was a good effect, I'll admit.
God, and you see the flames under it, and it just goes away, and it's like, whoa, that's just awesome.
I thought the writing was good. The
oh, is it a spoiler? Country Sound thinks it's a spoiler.
I told you not to go there.
I couldn't help it. I just got so excited about it.
Spoiler alert.
See, I stopped your the podcast and go watch it and come back there.
I thought the final scene where, you know, people were getting back together, which shouldn't be a spoiler because the name of the show is Exodus. You know, they were getting back together. There were, you know, two different things going on in the same scene. And
yeah, there was a lot
I
of emotional pull and drag between the characters. Maybe not against each other, but just in their dynamics of their, you know, some of the main characters. It's pretty interesting. I think, this is not anywhere near a spoiler, but look at Leah Dama. They showed him with the fat gut. I was like,
he won't be fat for long.
No, he's gonna start working out because he ain't got his own command anymore.
Well, I'm kind of sad that they almost gave another spoiler. You know, you
well,
just
don't go. But I, it was funny seeing, especially at the beginning of the season, this last season, you see Lee, and you're like, the hell! All these people are fat and got beards and stuff, and
yep,
he had porked out, and it was like. He's like a Tom Cruise looking guy, you know?
Them's good eating on the Pegasus.
Cookie's good.
All right. We need to move along because we still have a few things left in the geek library.
Okay. All right.
All right. Now the transitional swoosh. I like that one better. We're there. We just beamed into the... We used our FTL and jumped into the geek library.
Yeah.
We right. want you... We forgot to mention this on the last show. There's a link in the wiki... We want you to tell us your favorite Star Trek movies. We list them all so you can pick them and choose them. Order them from your most favorite to your least favorite. We're just
and we already have some. And we already have some notable names in there. We've got Ebo Terra with his one, and Timoris actually went through all of his.
Ebo only listed one, and I told him those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
True that. And you know what? Timoris had the same thought I did about The Final Frontier. So I put on there, I do not recognize this as a Star Trek movie. And he said, this film must not be named Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
The film, yeah, like Voldemort must not be named.
Yeah.
The film that must not be mentioned.
Yeah.
So please go there. We were curious to find out what people think and how they rank. Because, you know, the first... two or three are generally the same, but after that, it's curious to see who ranks which one higher than the other. So
I tell you what, on my list, no kidding, the top five or six for me personally were really tight, and it didn't really matter what order I put them in. I liked them all, but Star Trek II, of course, rocks.
Next couple articles, you seem to have a thing for 101 here, which is
I just happened across these. Here's the 101 most influential people that never existed.
Really?
And let's go through the top 10 real quick. All right,
you
number
mean
10.
Like, wait, Sherlock Holmes?
He's probably in here somewhere. Let's see. Holmes. Yeah, let's go to number 10. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Number 9, Romeo and Juliet. Actually, there are two people. Anyway, number 8, Sherlock Holmes. Number 7, Siegfried.
Who's Siegfried?
Where's the other?
You mean like as in Siegfried and Roy?
I don't know.
Or is it, anyway, this Dr. is a different one.
So Dr. Frank, I guess so. And we'll probably be called out on it. Dr. Frankenstein, number 6. Hamlet, number 5. Number 4 is Santa Claus. That's St. Nick to you. And number 3, King Arthur. And number 2, Big Brother. And number 1, The Marlboro Man.
The Marlboro Man was the most influential person?
I guess
he must
so.
Have convinced a lot of people to smoke.
I guess so. Yeah, it was my old... That's the only reason I've ever picked up a cigarette, because of the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
I don't smoke now, by the way.
Never mind your friends who are telling you it was cool.
I don't smoke now, so nobody email me saying you should quit.
And 101 Halloween ideas.
Yeah, I just threw this in there. I hadn't really looked at it. If you flip through, they had some ideas on... No, I did number 2. Old tree trunks or cut sections of thick limbs make great stands for your jack-o'-lantern. You know, and stuff like that. There's a bunch of them.
It is Halloween at the end of the month in the United States, so.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking forward to have a good time. Oh, and don't forget, if you're listening to this before the, what is it, the 28th, 29th, don't forget to set your clocks back an hour.
There's yeah, our so you're public on time for the next show. Hey, well, what are you dressing up for Halloween?
Probably not.
Oh, really? You know what? I'm going to try and go as Mr. Incredible.
Last year I was... Was it last year or the year before? I dressed up as a lunch lady because I was passing out the candy.
Dressed as a lunch lady.
I was gonna pass out mashed potatoes.
You can take your costume off now, Chuck.
I was going to pass out mashed potatoes. Here's a scoop. Right in the bag. Gravy's at my brother's house around the corner.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be funny. Yeah, I did see a video online. Somebody had a cam set up, and they were dressed as like a scarecrow, but they're sitting in the rocking chair, mm-hmm. and it looks like a decorative one. And somebody reach over him and get candy, and he'd just move and go, oh, you know, and they jump. This guy sitting in the chair, and this black guy comes over, reach over for the candy, and the guy in the rocking chair goes, whoa, and the black guy just comes back, pops him in the face.
No.
It's like, oh my God. It's just the reaction he had. Smacked him right in the face. I was like, oh. So don't try to go out of your way to scare people on the Halloween.
All right, Craig, how much caffeine would it take to kill you?
I don't know. The weight's catching up with me, so that might kill me first.
No, that might help, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, I drink Diet Mountain Dew. So let's say Diet Mountain Dew, I weigh...
There's a website called energyfiend.com, and you can put in, you can pick, it says pick your poison. There's a select list that has everything from 7 up to Jolt Cola.
Yeah.
I just said, all right, decaf brewed coffee, and I put in my weight. You can do pounds or kilograms, and then you punch the button that says kill me. It says I could drink 1,974.38 cups of decaf brewed coffee before croaking.
1,000.
That's almost 2,000 cups.
Your bladder might give up before that, before you ghost.
You are no longer a productive member of society at that point.
Yeah, all you do is drink.
Well, I suppose if you're dead, you're not either.
Well, I did Diet Mountain Dew. It said 258 cans. And then I did the same. I did Jolt.
Yeah.
And it went 100.
You got to wonder what's the most deadly thing in there. Jolt's got to be.
I don't know.
There.
There's a lot of sugar, so I guess they're just looking at caffeine. Anyway, okay, it's kind of interesting.
Final link in there: all of Charles Darwin's works online.
Yeah, all those works are now online.
Who put that online? It's at.
I don't know.
Oh, the link is to darwin-online.org.uk.
Yeah, Darwin did it. I don't know. I guess the natural evolution.
No, Charles Darwin did not put his works online. I'm sorry. That's just not possible.
It's the natural evolution.
Is that like
things.
The Gutenberg project? Yeah.
I'm serious. I think it's complete works online. I don't know who did it. Acknowledgements. Here you go. Director. There's a director, research associate, and there's a list of people there that are putting this stuff on there. So, I mean, you know, he did a lot of research and stuff.
We also have a boatload of links from Bruce Barr, whom we heard
yes.
earlier.
Thank you, Bruce.
Including how to build your own PC on a stick with the Mojo Pack. That was interesting. LED light bulbs, and there was another one, battery-free USB-powered LED torch. It uses your USB port, charges up a capacitor, and then you got this little dinky LED-powered flashlight or torch. If you're into MySQL or MySQL, O'Reilly Network has a whole bunch of open source tools that you can use, such as mm-hmm. MyPHP Admin and mm-hmm. Many others that I was not aware of. There's what's the other one? MTOP. You can check your server processes and all that kind of stuff. Lots of good stuff that Bruce threw us. Oh, by the way, there's a Flash Player version 9 is now available. In case you missed that,
so, I'll rush right out.
Yeah. I think I'm still running 7 on some platforms.
Really? Actually, the Mac came with 9 on it.
Did it?
Yeah.
How you like your new Mac, real quick?
Where should I start? It's actually pretty nice. I've been really happy with it. It's like Linux, except for it's got some really cool OS X only apps. So it's kind of interesting. Like I said, if you take away the OS X app, like the iLife and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like any Unix, Linux operating system, but
it's got a little more polish, I think.
Yeah, of course, the interface, of course, is more polished. Finder works better than Nautilus, especially attaching. Here's the big thing I like. When I'm at work, I attach to a server to do some editing. Mm-hmm. Well, in Linux, I could do the same thing. I could just open up, hit Command K or whatever, type in the address and go see the machine and start browsing the files. But in OS X, it mounts it over there, then all the apps can view those too. In Linux, not all the apps can view those shares that you have open like that. Like, I couldn't go to terminal and browse into the shares, whereas in Mac can.
Okay, your 30 seconds is up. We got to get out of here.
Oh, it's a 45-minute segment.
That one could be a show in itself.
Yeah.
If you want to get in contact with us, listener line is always 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email me, Chuck, at chuckchat.com, or Craig is K-R-E-G at chuckchat.com. The only constant in the universe is our website at www.chuckchat.com for all the forum swag, webcam, mail list, links, naked girl. Oh, no, those are gone now. And show notes and much more.
I missed that memo.
If you're not going to the website on a regular basis or using a regular RSS aggregator, you're going to miss all the great content that Marv has been putting in there almost on a daily basis with lots more Technorama links.
Hey, you know what? Just as soon as he got his power up, there was a post.
Isn't that amazing? This guy's awesome.
He's a machine.
This show is a member of Friends in Tech. Still are. Proud member. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming for this show. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, you can tune in. That is brought to you courtesy of Scott Reynolds. Mark Shepard also does the reflecting on that. Chat room provided by freenode.net. And if you're listening to this show simply by clicking on it from the website, check out how to subscribe through iTunes and get it for free automatically. There are other podcatching clients that you can do. Craig or I would be happy to show you how to use those if you want to know more about that. Drop us an email.
Yes.
And please do us all a favor. Tell a friend about Technorama this week. If you're standing in line for something, say, hey, do you listen to podcasts? Here's one to start with and point them
I'm just here
way.
For the toilet paper, man.
Those frozen peas. Thanks for listening. As always, a binary high five.
101.
You two are a couple of geeks.